Okay, there we go. So this is a part five of the four stages of spiritual awakening that's inspired by Dr. Michael Beckwith. And so I want to begin with a quiz to see if you're all tracking. So I want you to, how many of you know what those four stages are? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have never heard of that before? Raise your hand. Anybody never heard of that before? Okay. All right, so we're looking at a map, a way in which we can kind of see our spiritual unfoldment, our spiritual journey, the transformational process. And it begins with understanding how we have our life, that we evolve in so far as how we're having our life. And so one way that we have our life is we have our life happening to us. And so what do we call that when we have our life as if it's happening to us? Right. So that's one way we can have our life. And so what's another way we can have our life? We can have our life by us. That's right. And so when that is how we're being with what we're having, then we can call ourselves a manifester. We're creating our life. We have a sense of what our purpose and passion is, and we be it and do it and have it. And then there is another way that we can have our life that's kind of the next level up, and that is we have our life through us. And that way we can see that we can become a channel. We can recognize that we are the way through which God operates. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life of God. So there's a dimension of our effort, our path, our journey that's about being a conduit for spirit. And then there is the final stage. Life happens as me, as us. And so we're source unto our life. We don't look outside of ourselves for what gives us a sense of meaning and purpose or identity. And so we've been talking about these four stages, and I've been sharing a personal story around my own evolvement through looking at these stages as to how they manifest in my life as I'm struggling to work with manifesting greater abundance. My desire to fulfill our hopes and dreams to retire someday. You know, we're looking at our later years and wanting to be able to be assured that all things are happening in perfect order. But then there's everything that's happening that is in the way of that, it seems, because we can have a sense that our life isn't working the way we want it, and therefore, because of what we're having, feel insufficient, feel less than. And so part of understanding moving out of this sense of victimhood is that we have to get to become a manifester. We have to recognize that it's up to us to create the life that serves the greater purpose of who and what we've come here to be. We can't wait for that to happen. And so the whole focus now becomes how can we move into this dimension of having our life be by us, which means that we have to be willing to take ownership of how we're having our life. And as I've mentioned, part of taking ownership is recognizing that we have to begin to give up our story as to how our life is. That's the reason why we have to have things be a certain way, or we're not experiencing the greater good that we want for ourselves because of what's happening out there. But we talked about recognizing that we have to let go of making it incumbent upon the outer to give us our sense of well-being and worth. We have to experience the fullness of that ourselves, independent of what we're having, if we're to transform our world and our society. And this fits perfectly with our season of Advent, in our recognition that in these times of celebrating the birth of Jesus, we are also recognizing that Jesus Christ, our Christian tradition, the culture that we are living in as a part of what we're about as a spiritual community, we understand that this time, this season, Advent, is about the what's happening in the horizon, what's coming, what's going to be upon us. And so if we're not present to this energy, this celebration in the context of activating a dimension of ourself, we're likely to think that this celebration has to do with some historical event, and that all of the story around that is supposed to make us feel like there's peace on earth and goodwill abounding, and yet how can we authentically occupy that sense of joy and hope and celebration knowing what's going on in the world? And so the challenge of trying to manage that kind of compartmentalized out of integrity on one level, and yet at the same time we hunger and thirst for a feeling of connection and family and hope, and yet at the same time, you know, we kind of have to recognize that there's some major disconnect between what's happening in the world and what we're capable of, and what lives in our heart of hearts. And if we're not unfolding that, bringing that forth, then we're missing an opportunity to be unto our world the one, the Christ child. And so there's a dimension of Advent that is calling us into that ownership, that we need to own our spiritual essence, own who we've come here to be, and begin to work on those parts of ourself that don't believe that. And because Mary and Joseph were our parents, we have every reason why not to believe that we're not the one. But this is not about our parents. What we carry with us is not our fault, but it is our problem, our inadequacy, our unworthiness, our feeling that we don't measure up, there's something wrong with us. What we took on that gave us that those limiting beliefs aren't, it's not our fault, but it is something that we have to work with. And so I've been trying to share in this conversation about moving out of victimhood, a sense that our victimhood was one in which we had to decide how we're going to manage our sense of not enough. And the conditioning, the struggle is that when I go into my sense of not enough, I'm always trying to get more in order to feel better. Have you ever been in that conundrum? That it seems in order for us to feel different about what we're having, we have to have something different happen. And that's the conundrum. And so then when we're conditioned to get more to deal with our emptiness, we're conditioned to look outside of ourselves for evidence of our worth. You know, and Jesus said, you know, when it comes to this whole idea of our worth and our money and our need to have what we need in order to be able to manage our hopes and dreams in the context of what's going on in this world, Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and dust corrupt and where thieves can break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor dust corrupts or thieves break through and steal. Because where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And so what Jesus was trying to describe to his disciples is that our treasure is our sense of worthiness. And if we're investing our sense of worthiness in what we're having in the outer, we're missing the boats, because what's happening in the outer is not a reliable anchor for our sense of identity and worth. And the kingdom of heaven, the treasures in heaven, heaven comes from the Greek word uranos, which means expansion. It means laying up in this dimension of oneself, the expansion of this awareness that is enable us to see beyond the appearances. Jesus said the kingdom of God cometh not through observation. And so we have to begin to disentangle our effort to resolve the conflicts of knowing who we've come here to be and yet not able to sort of manifest a greater good that penetrates the dynamic of all the chaos that's in the world. We have to discover a different path to be able to break through and make it matter. And that is moving out of our effort to try to get something outside of ourselves and to becoming that which we've come here to be. So part of our effort is understanding that we have to begin to be in the practice, the intent, to use our attention and awareness in a way that exercises ourselves from the distraction of making our identity, our sense of reality, contingent upon how our life looks and feels, and instead beginning to understand that we have to develop that dimension of ourself that is here to make a difference, but we have to be capable of transcending the self system that has heretofore created the very life that is stuck in separation. And so this is not an easy thing to do, but it's something that we must do, and it is what we're called to do in the context of our spiritual transformative process, our journey. So I'm wanting to share my experience and how I have arrived at a place where I no longer find value in trying to get something outside of myself that's not here. And I've discovered that I can be in a place within myself where it comes to me. And so last time I described how Jane and I, when we shifted from unconscious spending via credit cards to conscious spending through cash only, we discovered that we had sufficient income. And so our whole idea of believing that we didn't have enough to manage our living here in Spokane was a self-imposed limitation. And I also spoke about if we understand that what we're having, the discomfort that we're having about anything is connected to a self-imposed limitation about ourself, the effort is to try to change the outer in order to feel differently about how we're being inside of ourself. And so when we shifted to all cash, all of a sudden we discovered not only did we have the power to change that internal belief, but we discovered the truth, and that was we had more than enough. But the problem was that we created quite an indebtedness along the way. Now we have to manifest lots of money in order to take care of that. And so this has happened a couple years ago. So I'm telling you that things have shifted for me, and now all the things that I have need of in terms of managing the financial dimension of my life is happening because I'm no longer trying to get it. I'm trying to become something that is beginning to shift my world, and I want to describe that process. I want to tell you how it's happening. And I've begun to introduce a way in which to describe that process by beginning to understand how we can be in this effort to be more in the presence of insufficiency and refrain from trying to manage the insufficiency by trying to get more, but rather trying to manage it by being more. And so this is the journey that I'm wanting us to kind of begin to look at more deeply, but I'm wanting us to also understand that this is the same journey that Jesus called his disciples to. Be more. Be more. Be more. Because when we can become more, then we can accomplish greater things. But when our focus is on what we have as a defining experience of who we are and what we're capable of, then we're always focused on something outside of ourselves. So we have to work with our own circuitry of ourself in order for us to create these shifts. So how can I shift from my focus in the outer, where the outer appearance of things is insufficient based upon the internal desire for whatever is my concept of how my life has to be in order for me to feel successful, empowered, capable, whatever. I have a certain sense of wanting that feeling, but I've made it conditioned upon the outer experience to generate the feeling instead of having that feeling about myself first. And feeling a sense of expanded beingness, and then beginning to operate the circuitry from that context. And because we create our own personal reality, and because most of the time we do that unconsciously through our habits of being, doing, and having, and feeling, and believing, and perceiving, because that happens most of the time unconsciously, it's not until we make this conscious do we begin to have a handle or a way to really change the way the circuitry operates and therefore create a different outer experience or a different way of relating to what's happening in the outer. So I mentioned last time that the upper part of the circuit has to do with how we're having our life. And these circuits tend to be more conscious to us. We can kind of think in terms, okay, well, what's my state? What am I doing? And how am I having my life? But we need to understand that the bottom circuits is our story. It's our proof. It's the circuits that unconsciously gather evidence to validate what we're having is the truth. And this circuit runs independently of the content. So we can have a false belief or limiting belief, and it still works perfectly and manifests the exact very limitation that we hold within our hearts. And this is not rocket science, but it is brain science. And if we don't have, and this is what's so cool, is because most of this stuff is just arising. It's like Advent itself. It's coming. These ways of being able to now to align our spiritual practice with the body-mind dynamic is now no longer hidden secrets to people who are highly developed. This is becoming common knowledge. And when we understand that Jesus' message, his teaching, is all about working these circuits, and I'm gonna share how we can look at it that way, we will see that not only is this alignment with science really effective, but it's perfectly in alignment with our Christian culture. So, I'm going to share a different clip from Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's going to be talking about the circuits that manifest our personal reality and how meditation can be a practice that serves our purpose of reprogramming ourselves.
So then, if you wanted to create a new personal reality, a new life, you'd have to change your personality, which means you'd have to start thinking about what you've been thinking about and change it. You'd have to become aware of your unconscious habits and behaviors and even what you say and modify them. And then you'd have to look at those emotions that keep you anchored to the past and decide if those emotions belong in your future. So most people try to create a new personal reality as the same personality, and it doesn't work. We literally have to become someone else. The person who's waiting for their wealth to come to feel abundance, they're living by that model of cause and effect. You have to feel wholeness in order for your healing to occur. We have to feel love for ourselves and love for life in order for us to have love in our life. So the process of change requires unlearning and relearning. It requires breaking the habit of the old self and reinventing a new self. What we say in neuroscience, pruning synaptic connections and sprouting new connections. Unfiring and unwiring and refiring and rewiring. Unmemorizing emotions that are stored in the body and then reconditioning the body to a new mind and to a new emotion. No longer signaling the same genes in the same way, but signaling new genes in new ways. Beginning to pull your energy out of the past and beginning to invest your energy into the future. What we're teaching people how to do is not to pray to have their prayers answered, but to get up from their meditations as if their prayers are already answered.
So when Dr. Joe talks about reconditioning the body to a new mind, he's basically saying that we need to recondition the circuitry of ourself. And that's going to help our body memorize a different way of being. And because those circuits, when they become habits of being, doing, habits of having, habits of feeling, habits of believing, habits of perceiving, what that is our unconscious self, but it's really the body. So our unconscious self is the body mind. We have to recondition it. And that means we have to create the circuitry to live in a memory of the future, because the circuitry is embedded in the habits of the past. And so part of working in consciousness means that we begin to upload, in a sense, a different way in which we are telling our story. And we need to begin to tell the story of how wondrous our life is happening, how it's happening, and instead of in it awful. Because our every unconscious or conditioned way of being with what's happening reinforces the conditioned self and the attention on the outer as the monitor of one's well-being. We have to condition ourselves not to look out there for evidence of our well-being, but to begin to generate well-being inside of us and let that be the context of how we're having our life. And so when that becomes clear to us, oh, that's my effort, then the question is, well, what practices work directly with reprogramming, uploading different habits, different ways in which we can work these circuits? And so if we just kind of begin to look at, okay, a conscious circuitry of our self system is, you know, it's pretty easy to imagine. We're present in the moment. We're being our authentic self, and we know what we're about to do and how we're going to be having our life, and we're present to what's going on in the body in terms of its feedbacks, of its emotional state, and we're not operating out of a filter, but we're just being present, choiceless presence of what's happening in the moment. And then our sense of meaning-making happens in the context of this infinite and eternal self, as opposed to the memories of my sense of not enough or what's wrong. So when we begin to understand that these circuits will still manifest the way to manifest that is different than manifest in this victim state is to begin to program these circuits differently. And now, in terms of manifesting, we're wanting to focus on the bottom circuits. Let me hang on, go back. We want to focus on the bottom circuits. So in a sense, we want to intentionally generate a felt sense of what we're wanting to create as our desired future. We also have to create in a present moment an attention to that as being present, as a possibility. It's in the field already. We don't have to make it up. It's already present. We just have to align vibrationally with it and stay connected to it. We need to refrain from thinking about when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, because that takes us back into the outer. And so we have to keep our attention. Then when it comes to the meaning making, we have to connect up to our heart. And so there's an internal way in which we can begin to reprogram those circuits. And one of the easiest ways is through meditation. Now, how many of you have heard about meditation before? How many of you have a regular meditation practice? Good. How many of you want to have a regular meditation practice? Okay. So if you're not familiar with meditation, it's just it has a deep tradition. There's all kinds of scientific evidence to its health benefits. But let me just say a couple specific things why it's so important, especially in working with the circuits. And that is, meditation begins to shift how your brain operates. You move from beta to alpha brain waves. And those brain patterns, alpha is the brain state of the little child. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And so the alpha state is the state where we have access to that dimension of our being that is the presence. Then there's also in our brain a collection of circuits that it's called the default mode network. And when it's overactivated, there's a preponderance of self, taking ourselves seriously, more seriously than normal. Have you ever found a lot of your issues connected to you taking yourself too seriously? Well, we live in a constant state, especially in these times when we're so stressed. That network within our brain is always on. We're always thinking about what we don't have or what's wrong. The glass is half empty. We're looking at the past. It's a circuit in the brain that keeps that on, and if you just start meditating, it dampens it down. And then those thoughts diminish. And so there's studies. I just pulled up a study last week on Vipassana meditation and how it damps down the default mode network. And then the opportunity to just sit and settle begins to condition the body that when we're still, it doesn't mean we sleep. When we're still, it means we wake up. And we condition our brain to become more alert when we're still. And then the brain's hemispheres begin to interact and become coherent. And all of our systems, and then we add the heart math lock into that, we create a coherence within our whole field. Our immune system turns back on. Everything begins to work better. And then we have to have a plan to busy our circuits with. Now we have access to the circuits that we can upload now. And so what I find is the best way to upload my circuits, you may find is something different, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of practices that help work those circuits, are mind movies. And so a mind movie is like a treasure map. It's a visual representation, but it's using the technology that enables you to combine music, imagery, text and affirmations, and subliminal programming. And it's all a part of a computer platform that you purchase, and you can create your own mind movie, and it has tutorials. It tells you exactly how to do it. But the mind movie as a system works those bottom circuits very profoundly. And you use the movie as a practice. You work with it as a spiritual practice. And Dr. Joe uses mind movies in all of his trainings. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And so I'm going to share my latest mind movie. I've been working with mind movies now since started going to Dr. Joe. And I got to tell you that the things that have happened that have shifted my sense of not enough and brought me to a place where I can see things happening that are coming to me that are meeting all of my financial needs, our financial needs, without having to get more. But the act of becoming more, I'm going to describe in more detail, but the mind movie, you need to know, is the primary tool that I use as really getting clear as to what I'm wanting to welcome into my life. And so here's my movie. Yet, but as far as my beingness, no, I'm living in that experience, and so part of it is using it, and so the recommended use is to watch it as often as possible and really feel the experience, Because once again, your brain doesn't know the difference between it's what it feels and what you're actually having. So, and then to watch it in the morning when I wake up and before I go to bed, and to also use a kaleidoscope to help create a trance state, gives you access to your subconscious mind. And as you use it, when you have access to your subconscious mind, which is easier when you wake and just before you retire, then you automatically take this thing in and you work with it over and over and over, and you just feel it. You don't look outside for the hangar or the airplane or the money. You just feel it. You feel present to it. And there comes a moment when something happens, and then it's like a breadcrumb. Oh, I wonder what that's about. And that moves you gently closer towards welcoming what it is that your body is calling forth, your body mind is calling forth. So you can get the access to the program off of our church website. Click on the transformation link, and there's a link to the Mind Movie platform. So the last thing I have is that all the things that we talked about today, Mary Teresa True is going to be starting a meditation class after the first of the year, every Wednesday in January in the evening. And so we will have a sign-up sheet for that. Appreciate her offering to do that. And then also, Karen Dunmore has offered to support anyone who wants some coaching on the Mind Movie process. You'll need to get your own Mind Movie account on your laptop or device and watch the tutorials to see if you can figure your way through it. But she's there to help you actually make your movie, if that's some assistance that you need. So, my timer just went off. 30 minutes. God bless you. Thank you.
I find myself feeling very grateful to be a part of a community that has such a vision of transforming lives and making a positive difference in the world and providing the tools to do that and encouraging us. So, pretty cool. And unity actually stands for peace in the presence of conflict, which we provide tools for that, and also in the presence of hatred, for love in the presence of hatred, and for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, and the many words you can say for God, like the names, and that we know that there is only one power and one presence and one life. So we're all living that life. We're all expressions of love and that power. So wherever you are in your journey on this transformation, you are welcome here. We also are a very inclusive, loving, welcoming community, so we love to acknowledge those of you that are here for the first time. If you would be willing, you can just raise your hand and
raise your hand.
And our ushers have a packet for you, and that packet will give you some information. If you fill out the form on it and put that form in the love offering bag, to the right there, go back straight, Alan. Alan to the right, there you go. Awesome. Everyone else get covered? Super. So on that packet, you'll find a form. Just fill out that form and put it in the love offering bag. And then you'll be on our mailing list. So you'll get once a week, you'll get our e-newsletter. Also, you can take that packet to the barista stand and get a beverage of your choice for free. As well as going to the bookstore, you can get a CD of today's service, if you'd like, today's talk. And if you have any questions, those of you that are visiting us today, or if you've been here a long time,